again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. If you're listening by computer, we welcome you as WMAF streams to anywhere in the world that is hooked up to the World Wide Web. So we welcome you from other states within the United States and other nations in our world. Welcome today. Praise God. And if you have downloaded this broadcast for this teaching on our website, we're so glad that you came to visit with us, and we're so happy to share the Word of God with you today. The Lord loves you, friend, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not. Amen. He will have to judge you if you don't receive Jesus, because He's holy. He can't sweep our sins under the rug. He can't look over them. But He did send His Son to bear our sins on the cross so that we could be forgiven. The sweetest words that God ever said is, "I forgive." And you can hear those words spoken by the Spirit to your heart if you don't know Jesus. So if you're not a Christian, please stay tuned today to this broadcast as we discuss His challenge to us as Christians and His offer to you of salvation. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to be talking under this great umbrella of prayer about the power of perpetual praying. Perseverance in prayer, without a doubt, friend, equals victory in spiritual battle. So we're going to talk about how to persevere and pray perpetually. Praise the Lord. Amen. In just a few moments. We mentioned our website, and you can come there if you would like to. Just type in THCOG on your browser, and Google will take you directly to our website. It stands for the Holy Church of God here in Tampa, Florida. And if you type in THCOG, then you will come directly to our website. Everything is free, no strings attached. We freely receive, we freely give. God has made the way, and we're happy for those who sponsored this broadcast so that we can give away the gospel. Hallelujah, like God intended for it to be given. Not criticizing anyone else, just saying that's the way God has shown us is the very best way to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. So just come and visit with us if you would like. If you'd like to download any materials to an MP3 player or similar device, you can do that. And if you would just like to listen directly from the website to any of the sermon material or any of the recent editions of this broadcast, we'd be very happy for you to come and do that. Many people are coming from all over the world, literally places I've never heard of, and yet they are hearing this broadcast, and we're so grateful for that, and they're hearing the sermon. So today we're going to talk about the power of perpetual praying, and let me make an opening statement here. Let me just read the scripture first. It's a simple scripture, but it is so pregnant with power and potential and possibility. It's 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. And it simply says how we're to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And let me make this statement now. Standing on the Word does not mean sitting idle, hoping for an answer from God. Standing in faith does not mean believing for something in our heart with no other spiritual exercise. Waiting upon the Lord does not mean doing nothing and becoming inactive spiritually. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, I'm going to say it again. It says, pray without ceasing. And the first statement I want to make to you today is there's great power and potential in prayer itself. Listen to James 5 and verse 16. I'm going to put this in context. I'm going to read 16 through 18 out of James chapter 5. It says, "Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me make a statement to you. I understand the word fervent here, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent in the actual Greek, if it was a term used for water, it would be when the water is heated and it comes to the boiling point. It begins to boil. For metal, it's when metal is heated to a red hot glow. That is when the word fervent can be used. So we're not talking about this kind of religious dutiful praying. We're talking about passionate petition to God. We're talking about coming to God and seeking Him with the whole of our being, with all of our heart. It's passionate praying that is descriptive of fervent prayer. But what about this word effectual? What are we talking about there? I believe predominantly we're talking about praying perpetually, praying constantly, praying without ceasing. If it's a passionate prayer, then it's the kind of prayer that you don't give up on, you don't give in, you keep on keeping on in prayer until the answer comes. Matthew Henry comments on this verse this way: it must be a pouring out of the heart to God, and it must proceed from a faith unfeigned. Praise God. He goes on to comment on this verse of Scripture by saying that Elijah prayed earnestly, or as in the original, in prayer he prayed. So it was not just something he was saying, but something he was doing, something he was living in constantly, something abiding in his heart before the words for prayer were even spoken. Matthew Henry goes on to say, it's not enough to say a prayer. We must pray a prayer. Our thoughts must be fixed, our desires firm and ardent, our graces in exercise. He further states, thus you see, prayer is the key which opens and shuts heaven. Praise God. Amen. No wonder the Apostle Paul says we are to pray without ceasing. Oh, how we need, amen, heaven opened and God to come down, as it were, to manifest Himself, to help people that are in desperate straits, to heal people of sin's deadly wound and from life's hurts, and to seal us for heaven. How we need God to show up in our church services. How we need God to touch our loved ones. How we need God to verify the gospel to the nations of the world. No wonder Paul said, pray without ceasing. And no wonder Satan fights prayer so vigorously. Satan will oppose us as we move into this kind of power with God. He will seek to distract us, to break the spiritual momentum that perpetual prayer is producing. Amen. There's a scripture in the book of Matthew, and it simply says, ask and you shall receive. Jesus taught this. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And in the meaning of those phrases, it's in the continual sense. In other words, he's actually saying, ask and keep on asking. That means to pray without ceasing. Don't let up. The Old Testament said, give him no rest. Praise the Lord. Continue day and night. When you wake up in the morning, some point during the day, when you lay your head on your pillow at night, bring that need, bring that request, bring that loved one, bring the nations of the world, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, bring it before God. Give him no rest. Praise God. He taught the principle of importunity. Amen. Of knocking and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. Pray and keep on praying. You say, Pastor, how long do I have to pray? You pray till you get the answer. You just set yourself to pray. Amen. To not let up and not give up. Praise the Lord. You just keep on keeping on. I call it bulldog faith. It's getting a grip and not letting go. Hallelujah. Amen. You express that faith, not just by confessing the word with your mouth, but praying confidently, passionately, fervently to the God that you know is listening. Hallelujah. Great revivals, friend, and marvelous moves of God are born out of desperate praying. Many times when the answer is achieved and blessing comes, the prayer life cools off. We lose the sense of urgency that brought the passion in the first place. Listen, fervent praying is produced when we are urgent in our prayers. We are passionate in our prayers. The momentum is what we need to sustain. Victory comes when we pray consistently. The vanquished enemy comes back in force if we let up in our praying. But if we continue to pray, God literally comes through. Remember the great story in the Old Testament? Moses is standing on a mountain, and what a revelation of the power of prayer. And the armies of Israel are fighting an enemy in the valley. And Moses has his hands held up in prayer. In the Chaldee, it says his hands were lifted up in prayer. And he became weary. And Israel was prevailing. But when his hands came down, literally when he was too tired to continue to intercede and to pray, he saw this battle tide turn. He saw the enemy now prevailing. And he pushed with his might and prayed from within with the last bit of strength he had, and he saw Israel begin to prevail again. Wow! A man is seeing in a personal, practical way the awesome power of intercessory prayer. I don't understand why God allows a man upon the earth to have such authority, but I see it in operation. I hear it as I read the scriptures. God and man working in concert. God and man in tandem for the will of God, not the will of man, but the will of God to be done. Thy will be done. Praise God. But if we discover that will and we pray that will, we open, literally, we open the gates of heaven. Hallelujah. And we can plunder the gates of hell for souls in the same way. Praise Lord. Aaron and Hur, who were watching this happen. Amen. They grabbed a great stone and they rolled it over and sat Moses upon it. They grabbed both of his hands and lifted him up. They encouraged him. Keep on praying, man. Don't stop praying now. And that's what I want you to do today, is be encouraged to keep on praying for that lost loved one. Keep on praying for that child that is sick. Keep on praying for that healing. Keep on praying for souls. Keep on praying for national revival, personal revival, global revival. Keep on praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Give him no rest. God honors this kind of praying, and Satan fears it. Therefore, he fights it tooth and toenail. And if you don't know what that means, just try praying like that for a while, and you'll find the devil, amen, doing everything in his power to break the momentum. But you'll find God coming through with power and grace and mercy and answers. Praise the Lord. The devil will seek to deceive us. And one of the things that he'll tell us is that it is futile to continue to pray. You know, I have prayed and things got worse. It seems like it went into reverse instead of getting better initially. But as I continued to pray, as I continued to come before God, amen, hallelujah, it seems like Jericho's defiant walls would come down and fall down flat and quickly. Praise God, hallelujah. We're seeing God come through like we've never seen God come through, because we're praying as priests and we're praying perpetually. Praise the Lord. The devil will seek to deceive us by telling us it's futile to continue to pray. The answer hasn't come yet, therefore it's not coming, is what he will say. Listen, friend, God's delay is not. I want to say this loud and clear. God's delay is not necessarily his denial. If you know it's His will, then pray and keep on praying. And remember, when the devil comes to tell you it's not going to work, he's not going to answer. Remember that he is a liar. The Bible said not only is he a liar, he's the father of lies. I heard this story. Remember now, this is just a story. A man stopped by a house with a sign out in front that said, "Talking dog for sale." The owner directed him to the backyard to see the dog. He was pretty skeptical and called out, "You talk?" And "Yep," the mutt replied. The man then said, "So what's your story?" The dog looked up and said, "Well, I discovered this gift when I was a young puppy, and I wanted to help the government, so I went to work for the CIA. I jetted around from country to country. I've spied on world leaders, and because no one ever figured a dog could eavesdrop, I was one of their most valuable agents. I uncovered some incredible secrets and was awarded a bunch of medals. I had a wife and a mess of puppies, and now I'm just retired." The guy couldn't believe his ears. Who ever heard of a dog that talked? He was already thinking of ways he could use an eavesdropping dog. He turned to the owner and said, "How much do you want for him?" The owner replied, $10. To which the man replied, "Your dog is amazing. Can I ask why you're selling him so cheap?" The owner just shook his head and said, "Because he's a big, fat liar. Nothing he told you is true. Every word he says is a big, fat lie." A friend of mine, this humorous story ought to make us think of the devil. The next time Satan says God isn't listening, your faith isn't working, your faith is too small, you are not worthy, it will never happen, it is too late, it is too hard, it's been too long, we must remember that he is a big, fat liar. And keep on praying and keep on believing. Paul said, "Don't ever let up. Pray without ceasing." Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praying without ceasing will bring, listen to me, astonishing results. In Acts 12 and verse 5, Peter is in prison by Herod and held over to be put to death the next morning. The situation is desperate, but so is the church. Praise God. Listen to this. I'm going to read this out of Acts chapter 12, beginning with verse 5. It says, "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made," here it comes, "without ceasing of the church for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise up quickly.' And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, 'Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals.' And so he did. And he said unto them, 'Cast thy garment about thee and follow me.' And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, and thought that he saw a vision." Verse 10 says, "And when they were past the first and second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth to the city, which opened unto them of its own accord. And they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, 'Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews.' And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, 'Thou art mad.' But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, 'It is his angel.' But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. They were astonished. And verse 17 says, "But he beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto him how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed to another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter?" You know, sometimes we pray and that we don't even pray with enough faith to look for the answer. Amen. We just kind of pray. We just throw it out there almost superstitiously. Amen. Rather than supernaturally. Amen. They really were not looking for Peter. They were praying, but they were not looking. And yet the Bible said we're to watch and pray. And I know it's a self-watch initially, but I believe we need to start looking. I believe that we need to get a spirit of holy anticipation. I believe God wants to astonish us with answers to prayer. But we need to pray perpetually, and we need to pray in faith. Praise God. When God moves supernaturally to answer prayer, even believers are astonished. I believe God wants to astonish us with His wisdom and might in answer to persistent prayer. Hallelujah. You know, there's a scripture in the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 33:3. And you know what it says? Amen. It says, "And call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." God is saying, if you're right with me, you need to come to me, call on me for your needs, for your problems, for your deliverances, for your help. Call upon me. Pray to me. It's another way of saying cry out to me in prayer. And I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. In other words, things which you have never dreamed of, you have never seen. Praise God. He's literally saying, I'm going to astonish you with answers to prayer. Hallelujah. That's God's desire, I believe. According to the Word of God, God wants to come through. He wants to answer prayer. He wants to distinguish Himself from the gods who are no gods. Hallelujah. From man-made gods to the God who made man. Praise the Lord. Friend of mine, this is a great challenge today and a great opportunity to see God move. We're seeing answers to prayer. And we're not a large number of people. In fact, we're a very small number of people. The remnant of this ministry for 37 years. But God is doing more now through this ministry than in all of the previous years when we were at our best and biggest. We didn't see and we didn't accomplish what we're seeing and accomplishing now for the kingdom of God. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Yes, we have a great enemy in the devil, but we have a greater ally in Jesus Christ today. And the challenge is clear that we're to ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. And then the Bible, and I love the way God talks, because He talks clearly and concisely. He never minces words. For everyone that asks that way, in the perpetual sense, everyone that asks, because that represents a faith that just won't give up and won't give in. Everyone that asks the way He just described, everyone that asks receives. And everyone that seeks that way perpetually finds. And everyone that knocks and keeps on knocking, to him the door will be opened. Praise God. They were knocking. Amen. Hallelujah. For a door to be opened, not unto them, but a door to be opened to set Peter free, and God opened that door. And they were astonished that God would manifest Himself in an answer in that way. You know, the New Testament said that it's never entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love Him. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard. It's never even entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love Him. But He hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. When God manifests an answer to prayer by His Holy Spirit, we're going to see things and experience things as a result of prayer to obtain the will of God that's absolutely going to astonish us. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the Bible said that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. No wonder the enemy of our soul worked so hard against us, particularly to keep us from being right in our heart with God, and to keep us from qualifying for answered prayer, and to keep us from praying the kind of prayer that brings an answer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know. I'm encouraging myself today. I hope this is encouraging to you. You just can't read things like this and see things like this in the Word of God, and then begin to see things in our personal life begin to happen because we're putting these principles of prayer into personal practice. Hallelujah. I tell you, victory is my business, and business is good. We're seeing God come through, and there have been years and tears, and there have been doubts and fears, but God is moving, friend, by His Holy Spirit to touch lives because people are praying like they have never prayed before. Praise the Lord. And we want to talk to you right now, those of you that are listening to this broadcast and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. The greatest and highest purpose in prayer is to pray for people that don't know the Lord. In other words, our greatest challenge to keep on praying is for our friends, our loved ones, and yes, people we've never met, people that God gave His Son for. That's all the people that are lost in this world. And that's you if you don't know Jesus. We're praying at our church for you. Jesus is interceding to the Father for your salvation. And God can't save you unless you accept the Savior. But He can come to you, draw you. Jesus said, "No man come to Me except My Father draw him." And I am convinced that right where you are, if you've listened to this point in the broadcast, God is drawing you. Don't run from Him again. Don't turn your back on this great gift of salvation and eternal life and sins forgiven. I'm praying right now that you will accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. And I'm praying today, if you're a Christian and you're praying and it looks like the answer isn't coming and things are even getting worse, keep on keeping on. Pray perpetually. Pray without ceasing. God is going to show you some wondrous answers to prayer that's going to astonish you. Well, we love you today. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.